Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network,
it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're finishing up this last hour a conversation with Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation, FFF.org, running for the Libertarian nomination for President of the United States of America. Let's have a listen on his stance advocating for freedom and open borders. An interesting conversation. Enjoy.
Well, they consider that these principles that I'm enunciating are liabilities. They're saying Jacob would take the party back, even though the candidates that espoused the reform message continue to be rejected at a 98 to 99% vote rate among the electorate. It's the exact opposite. I mean, what do voters have to finally tell us to say, we don't like your message? And let me tell you something, Ernie. I'm in the 98 to 99%. I reject this message, too. It's a bad message. I will vote Libertarian to get our numbers up. I always have. Just to get our numbers up. But if I had to vote on the message, I wouldn't vote for the message of these candidates because it's a bad message. And the American voters know it's a bad message, which is why they continue to reject us at a 98 to 99% rejection rate. If we run a campaign of pure principle, that goes out the window. Now we've got a sector of that electorate that will break us through that and get us into that 10 or 15% range.
I have a tough row to hoe here, Ernie. I would say that out of the six main candidates, I'm probably sixth, but I got several months to try to get this party to shift in the direction of principles. I mean, look, what was the second issue you showed on my website? You showed open the borders is the top issue. It's one of the distinguishing characteristics of my campaign. It incorporates every aspect of freedom and socialism. The party members can make a choice, a clear-cut choice. Now, what's the second issue?
Repeal
Social Security. Okay. Here's your crown jewel of American socialism. And my opponents say, oh, we can't repeal this immediately. We have
then
to
you
gradually
reduce.
I'm sorry?
Then you hate old people.
Exactly. You hate seniors. You hate the poor and so forth, which is Medicare right there, Medicaid. I say get rid of this socialism now because I want to live in a free society. You can't live in a free society if you got socialism for the next 40 years. But I also, reinforcing what you said, have faith in freedom. There's no doubt in my mind that you could repeal this socialist program today and everybody'd be fine. A lot of seniors don't need the money. They're wealthy. Other seniors might have to go back to work. There's nothing wrong with that. It keeps you young out there in the marketplace.
The save their lives.
The third group is people who are desperately in need of help. Okay, how do you solve that problem? Well, you got children and grandchildren who are no longer having to pay FICA taxes or income taxes to support this welfare state. That's a large amount of money. That's a big raise overnight. There's church groups. I mean, the churches of America are filled with people. You can't convince me that they wouldn't go help out seniors that really need help. There's grant-making foundations.
No, but it's illegal. You're not allowed to feed the homeless, help the people. Where's your permit?
I mean, this is what we got to restore in this country, a faith in freedom. Instead of a faith in the government, the coercive apparatus of the IRS and the Social Security Administration and the Medicare Administration. In other words, let's lead America in the conviction that freedom really does work. And this is where my opponents falter. They send the message that freedom doesn't work, that we got to gradually reduce socialism. Well, you know, Ernie, when you and I were in our 20s and somebody was saying, well, let's gradually reduce socialism till we get rid of it for 50 years. Okay, that puts us in our 70s. We don't have that luxury. I don't want freedom 50 years from now. I want freedom now. And that means making the case for freedom now. And that's what every LP member's got to decide. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of this party? You want freedom 50 years from now, or do you want freedom now? Yeah, let me address your point about the platform, because that's really interesting about getting the platform, because it reflects everything I've been saying. And it relates as an answer to your last question as well regarding the direction the Mises Caucus is taking the party and so forth. That when I was first asked to join the party in 1990, it was by a California activist named Bill Evers. And he called me up. I just started the Future of Freedom Foundation. He knew that I had started a foundation that presented a totally principled message on libertarianism. And he says, I want you to join the platform committee of the Libertarian Party. And I said, no. And he says, why? And I said, because it's a political party. And I didn't know much about the LP. And I said, it's a political party. They're just compromising principles to get votes. And I'm not interested in that. It's principles that will lead America to liberty. And he says, well, have you read the party platform? And I said, no. And he says, let me send it to you. So he sends me the party platform, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm stunned. I mean, it's a pure libertarian manifesto. Abolish immigration controls, abolish the CIA, abolish the FBI, dismantle Medicare, Social Security. And I'm like stunned. And so I call him up and I say, Bill, I was wrong. I would be proud to be a member of the platform committee of this party and a member of this party. I didn't ask how many members they had, how much money they had, how many votes they get.
Right.
It didn't matter to
me. Didn't matter.
I wanted to be a part of this party. But I noticed each time I served on the platform committee, and I served 3 terms, there were people that were coming in saying, we got to delete these principles. We got to water them down because they're costing our candidates votes. And I said, well, that's pure nonsense. But my argument was our platforms are protection against those candidates that are out there misleading
right.
people about what
Thank
we stand for. Well, then they later gutted out, for example, the 2 provisions on abolishing the FBI and the CIA. Now, why did they do that? To appease Republicans. And this is what your point about Bob Barr. This is what the whole thrust of the party still is today. We got to go after the Republican Party. Now, interestingly enough, some of my opponents are now calling for the abolition of the FBI. But that's only because Donald Trump has made it popular. If Trump had not started calling for the abolition of the FBI, neither would some of these other libertarians. Some of them are also calling now for the abolition of the CIA. But notice that these 2 planks are no longer in the platform. That reflects what I've been arguing about, that there's this move toward a right-wing direction. And it's still there. They're trying to get Republican votes. They call it the Ron Paul Revolution. Okay, we all admire Ron Paul. We look at him as a real model of libertarian philosophy. But the fact is that those voters that came for Ron Paul that surged up were Republicans. And there's this fantasy within the party and the Mises Caucus that those Ron Paul voters are still out there and they're going to come over and vote for the right-wing leaning Libertarian Party candidate that is trying to appease Republicans. It's never going to happen. They're not going to cross party lines. We have to find our own group of disgruntled voters. And that means those 50% that don't vote. And the only way they're going to come out is for a principled message of libertarianism. They're never going to come out for this reform, trying to appease Republican message, because that's part of the system. This is why we continue to get a 1% vote in congressional races, presidential races, because we're not targeting the people using our assets, Ernie. Our assets are our principles. By adhering to our principles, that's how we break into the 10 or 15% category. And that's where I say the party should be moving, including the Mises Caucus. And I got endorsed by the Mises Caucus 3 years ago. And I can guarantee you I'm going to be fighting for every vote of every single member of the Mises Caucus this time around, regardless of the fact that they've endorsed somebody else this time around, because every Libertarian Party member and every member of the Mises Caucus has to do soul searching like everybody else and says, what do I want to do? Do I want to follow the leader, or do I want to vote for the candidate who is best able to go to the American people with what our principles are, with the aim of leading America to freedom?
Well, the principle area they leak is immigration controls. I mean, they support immigration socialism, like I've been saying. They're appealing to the right wing. They think they're going to get the right wing vote. Now, of course, Democrats believe in this system, too. But when you look at people like DeSantis and Trump and Abbott in Texas, this is their big issue. The wall, the immigration controls, secure the border. And so this is where the other my opponents stand in favor of this immigration position of the Republicans. Now, imagine they're in the presidential debate. You know, just put that in your mind, because we often say, oh, the LP president's candidate should be in the debate. And the moderator says, where do you stand on immigration? What's the LP president standard, LP presidential candidate, the one with the standard reform message, going to say? He's going to say, I stand with President Trump here on the stage that we need to secure our border, and I agree with President Biden here that we need to secure our border. We libertarians want to continue with this system of immigration socialism, even though we call ourselves the Party of Liberty and the Party of Principle. We believe in liberty and socialism at the same time, and we're going to make this system work, along with the police state that comes with it. Ernie, who's going to vote for that message? I would never vote for that message. Now, Republicans would vote for that message, except that they're all going to go with Trump. And so where is the natural constituency for that Libertarian presidential candidate? It is non-existent, because he's not going to shake this 50% of people that don't vote, that big block, which I think is a gold mine of votes. He's not going to shake them into voting, taking the time to go vote. So that's where you end up with the 1%. And like I said earlier, the Wall Street Journal poll right now puts the Libertarian Party presidential candidate at the standard 1%, because they're factoring in this same standard reform message that we've been running for at least 25 years.
Okay, we got George Soros comes out and he says, we need open border, according to World Economic Forum of George Soros, of Klaus, of whatever. Do they really? You know, what's that border going to look like when they're in charge, Jacob?
Oh, it's going to be a controlled system. It's only the libertarians, you know, and this is the thing about it. This is why I joined this party, is that we are the hope for mankind with respect to liberty in general. But especially these people that are dying on the border. I mean, I'm proud to be part of the party. We're the beacon of light for these people. We're the beacon of hope. And if that beacon, if that light goes out, if it's extinguished and we run another candidate, especially one that's fanatical in favor of immigration controls, it'll be a dark day in the history of this party, because that light is extinguished then. It was the same thing that when they got rid of the plank that called for the abolition of the CIA, I guarantee you the CIA uncorked the champagne bottles, because now there was no longer a political party in this country that was calling for its abolition. And it's the most evil agency in American history. There's no doubt about that.
From the beginning.
And we have to keep this beacon of light open, that this is the party of liberty. This is the party of economic liberty, free markets, freedom of association. We have to lead America out of this morass, and becoming like a Republican is the exact opposite way to do it. Well, let me first amplify on your point on Argentina, because it really does hold the key to what we need to do right now with respect to the Libertarian Party and leading America to freedom. If you look at 1890 America, that's my favorite period of time, 1890 to about 1910. I wish I would have been born in that time, because you had no income tax, no IRS, no Social Security, no Medicare, no welfare state, no immigration controls, no drug war, no gun control. I mean, that's as close as we've ever come to a free society. Now, there were violations. There was the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. Women didn't have the right to vote and so forth. But this is the closest we've ever come to the principles that we enunciate. Well, it turns out that Argentina copied that system in the early 1900s. They had this tremendous amount of prosperity. I mean, Buenos Aires was the second largest, most prosperous city on the eastern seaboard, second only to New York. And then Perón comes in and does like Roosevelt did and converted the system to a welfare state and later to a warfare state. But there's always been this undertone of libertarianism, principal libertarianism. There's a guy named Alberto Benegas Lynch that was leading the way there, doing the educational things like you and I do. They invited Ludwig von Mises and Leonard Reed, the founder of the Foundation for Economic Education down there, to give lectures in the 1950s or 60s. Mises's lectures are encapsulated in a little book called Economic Policy that is still very good. What this guy is doing, Milei, is he's capitalizing on all the educational work that has been done under the radar screen that you couldn't see, that has been going on for decades from this group that I've been talking about, Alberto Benegas Lynch and a lot of other people there. They have think tanks and educational foundations. Well, this is what we have here in the United States, Ernie. We've been working in these vineyards for 50 years. I mean, think tanks, educational foundations, under the radar screen. The time is right to be leading America with our principles. This is the worst possible time to reject our principles. We need to run a presidential campaign of pure libertarian principles, because that's what will lead America to liberty. Reform is like slavery reform. If all you had done was reform slavery, you know, fewer lashings, better work conditions, better food, okay, that improves the lives of the slaves, but it's not freedom. And if all you do is reform the welfare state, save Social Security, privatize Medicare health savings accounts, school vouchers, and reform the Pentagon, reform the NSA, reform the CIA, all you've done is reform your serfdom. In order to achieve freedom, you've got to make the case for dismantling of infringements on freedom. You cannot settle for reform of infringements on freedom. And so this is the time. Libertarians need to seize at this particular time in history, after all this groundwork has been done by people like yourself with your radio show and your internet activity, we need to seize on that to lead America to liberty by adhering to our principles, not turning our backs on our principles. And that's what I say we should do in this presidential race. Let's do something different this time. Let's do something bold. Let's run a campaign that embraces our principles and sees them as assets in not only leading America to freedom, but in the process garnering a very large number of votes.
I'm glad you're doing it, Jacob. I want to, you know, hit on a couple of issues before we go. One, gun rights. You know, give me your thing on gun rights.
Well, it's simple. There should be no restrictions on the ownership of guns whatsoever. That, many people that advocate for gun rights, including among my opponents for this nomination, focus only on self-defense, the right of self-defense, which is clearly part of the right to keep and bear arms. But what they don't mention is the right to resist tyranny. And that's the thing that drove the
thing.
Second Amendment. I'm sorry?
That's a self-defense thing.
Well, it is, but they don't talk in terms of that this is an insurance policy against a tyrannical political regime. The natural supposition is that the U.S. government could never become a tyrannical regime. Well, that's pure nonsense. It has become a tyrannical regime. And if it became overly tyrannical, then people have a right to defend themselves from this regime. So absolutely, a free society necessarily entails the right to keep and bear arms, and there ain't no exceptions to this rule.
Okay, income tax. Give me you know, Jacob Hornberger income tax day.
Get it abolished immediately. You cannot have a free society when the government has the power to seize part of your income and has this tyrannical force called the IRS. Our ancestors understood this. This is why Americans live without income taxation for more than 100 years.
But who built the roads? Who about the roads? We got to have roads, man.
Yeah, like the big boondoggle of the interstate highway system, which is the biggest socialist project in America. Well, second maybe to Social Security and
Medicare.
It
was Eisenhower's Department of Defense moved missiles around or something. You know? That's how they had to fund it.
Yeah, they knew that it wasn't constitutional because the framers would have never permitted such a thing. So they justified it under the military necessity. And, you know, the funny part of that is they said, oh, well, this will enable the military to get around the country quickly if we're invaded.
Yeah.
Well, the flip side of that is it enables an invading force to get around the country easier.
I know. They're talking about, you know, Eisenhower went on about how great and wonderful the Autobahn was, and Germany's gone, man, this was awesome. You know, we were able to invade them really easy. Let's do it at home, you know. I was like, oh, my God. And are we ever going to pay back the debt? What about the national debt? What are you going to do, Jacob? What are we going to do?
Well, I think we focus on getting a free society, and if the debt can be paid, great. But if I'm given a choice between abolishing the income tax and defaulting on the debt or keeping the income tax and the IRS and paying the debt, you know which way I'm going. That when people invest in government bonds, you take your risks, just
take
like you invest in anything else. You take your chances. And if people choose to live in a free society and get rid of that income tax and the welfare state that it funds and the warfare state it funds, and there's a default on those bonds, then you just invest in the wrong vehicle. But we should never, ever sacrifice trying to achieve a free society in order to protect the government's indebtedness. Well, clearly it's an unsustainable system. I mean, you've got a massive welfare state and a warfare state. You got $34 trillion in debt. Expenditures are climbing. They still intervene overseas. The national security state has gotten us perilously close to nuclear war over there in Ukraine, which is what they did in 1962 in Cuba. This is moving in a very, very bad direction. And you're right. At some point, the big crack up could take place. Timing is... You can't predict when. You just know that this system is unsustainable, which is why we shouldn't wait for the big crash to happen. This is why we need to lead America out of this morass now with libertarian principles. Now, if the big crash were to happen, the only solution to it is libertarianism. But unfortunately, when there's the panic that happens, like during the Great Depression, people often move toward dictatorship, like they did with Roosevelt, who came up with his New Deal, which was a combination of socialism and fascism. And so this is the time, Ernie. And if you just permit me to make another political argument here as to why this message is not only a sound message, a message of principle, it's also a vote-getting message.
We take away their freedom, and still they'll roar. The beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate, it's the sand of the Colosseum. You bring them death, and they will love him for it.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The White House is asking Israel to hold off on a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip while it works to free hostages held by Palestinian militants.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken told CBS's Face the Nation,
but in terms of what we're talking to Israel about in their, with regard to their military operations, it really is focused on both how they do it and how best to achieve the results that they seek.
The administration reportedly not asking Israel to cancel any invasion. It just wants more time. I'm Corey Myers.
Two Israeli women held hostage were released earlier today. In September, close to 270,000 unauthorized immigrants were apprehended while crossing the southern border, marking the highest monthly figure ever recorded among these 18 individuals whose names appeared on the terror watch list. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to the final segment of our interview with Jacob Hornberger, running for the presidential nomination for the Libertarian Party. There was a lot that I had to edit out for time. If you go to Declare Your Independence with ErnestHancock.com, you can get the full interview, but most of it was just cutting out me, you know, so you didn't miss a whole bunch of Jacob. But there was quite a bit of other stuff. You want to get a full, rounded issue, but there's way more than enough here for you to get the idea of you can predict what he's going to say. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Now, the final segment with Jacob Hornberger.
I didn't care about that. I'm not like my opponents that target the Republicans for votes. I target the Republicans because, not for votes, but to show that they are equally responsible for the morass in which our country has found itself. The Democrats didn't run a candidate, but the LaRouches did. She clearly got all the Democrat protest votes because I'm calling for the immediate abolition of Social Security, Medicare, the welfare state, like I'm doing today. I got 7% of the statewide vote. Over 106,000 people went to vote for me. This is 20 years ago when people didn't even know what libertarianism was. Why? Because there is a constituency out there that likes this message.
20 years later, I have no doubts that constituency is much larger than 7%. As part of my campaign, I got endorsed by the most prominent black minister in one of the most prominent ministers in the country. He got elected to the African American Hall of Fame. His name was John O. Peterson. He was the pastor of the Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria. He knew I couldn't win, but he looked at my principles. Abolish immigration controls, abolish Social Security, abolish Medicaid. And he said, Mr. Hornberger, I'm endorsing you. Here's my letter of endorsement. I want you to take this to every black minister in the state. I have no doubts, Ernie, to this day, that a large portion of those 106,000 votes that I got were from black voters. This is a gold mine of votes for us, but they will vote only for a principled message, not one that is calling for Republican-like, reform-oriented messages, which, by the way, all of which violate the pledge that you were talking about of not initiating force or fraud.
Yep.
Every one of those things. Privatize Social Security, gradually reduce the Medicare, immigration controls. They all violate the pledge that we've all taken as LP members.
Okay, I made the mistake of clicking a button here. Okay, look at this. All right. It said, more positions! Boom! Oh, man, here we go. All right. We're going to do this. This is like a Rorschach test. Okay, we're going to go real quick. You can only do one sentence to make a point, you know, skip to the end.
That means get rid of the national security state form of governmental structure that the federal government was converted to after World War II. The Pentagon, the vast military-industrial complex, the empire of both domestic and military and foreign military bases, the CIA and the NSA, get rid of it all and restore a limited government republic, which was our founding governmental system, with just a small, basic military force.
Restore the republic, get away from military-industrial complex up. All right. So now let's go
which, by the way, gets rid of the foreign wars, too, that you were talking about earlier.
Boom.
The root cause of the foreign wars is the national security establishment.
Okay, no nuclear war. Can we just say, let's not have a war, because no war. I'm against the next war. Boom. Done.
Well, no, that's what's going on in Ukraine. It's a proxy war. They're using Ukraine as a proxy against Russia. They want regime change. They don't like Putin. And they're willing to risk nuclear war for this.
Why?
Just like they did in
1962. Who gives a crap about Russia and Putin? Why, you know, somebody in Oklahoma give a crap about what happens in Russia? Why would we care? They invading us?
Because it's a matter of control. The Pentagon wants to control the world.
For
and
who?
That means putting their people in public office in other countries. And when Putin is independent, they're saying, we don't want that. We want a lackey there. We need to get rid of him, even if we have to risk nuclear war, which is what they did in 1962.
For who? For who? We got a lackey
for them.
Who's them? They, them, those? Won't leave me alone?
For the Pentagon, the CIA, the NSA, they were the ones in charge, the national security state. There's a great book by... Well, this is another area where my campaign is distinguishable from my opponents in this race. They all favor school choice and competition and improving the public schools and, you know, vouchers. That's a classic socialist Republican Party platform position. It takes money from one group of people and gives it to another group of people. The freedom position, there's only one freedom libertarian position, and that is get government out of education entirely. You know, a lot of my opponents say, oh, well, let's run people for school boards. Well, that's just trying to get libertarians to run socialism better. What we've got to do is make the case for separating school and state. And that's why I think that's what our presidential candidate should be doing, is explaining to people what liberty really means. And in the educational arena, there's only one answer, and that's the separation of school and state, just as our ancestors separated church and state. Get government entirely out of education. Keep government entirely out of religion.
All right. Separate health care and state. All right. I need, I'm poor, I'm going to die, I got to have. And each one of these has a video of you, you know, talking about it.
You see, I wanted every American to see what libertarians stand for. Now, I knew that looking at our principles as liabilities would find abhorrent. Oh, my gosh, Jacob's telling people what we really stand for. Oh, my gosh. I want people to see where we stand for. These are our assets.
This is what I would run on if I were the presidential nominee. And the reform-oriented Republican light wing would say, oh my gosh, he's going to cost us votes. My position is the exact opposite. It's these principles that will garner us large number of votes. That was my whole point of running those primaries and winning 7 out of 9 and running for Senate and get 7% of the statewide vote, 106,000 people. These were my positions. People love these positions. A block of people do. And that was my point. You asked about my campaign strategy this time around. There's this concept in the party that people just don't know what our reform message is. And so to get attention, they use things like profanity, inflammatory statements, what's called macho flash, to get people to look at their reform-oriented position. My position is, people know what the reform position is and simply reject it. It's a bad message. So this time around, I announced in February, and what I've been doing since then is putting short videos on my website going after Democrats and Republicans in a very principled way. They make a statement, I attack them on it. Not in a personal sense, but to show libertarians that you can run a campaign of principle without resorting to profanity, the F word, which is very popular among the reform-oriented libertarians trying to get attention for their message, inflammatory statements, macho flash, no personal attacks whatsoever on my website. And so that's my campaign strategy this time around. Now, once the debate season starts, then we'll start going hand to hand with respect to competitors for the nomination. But as of right now, I'd like everybody to go to my website, look at my video blog section, and see how I would wage a campaign against Democrats and Republicans with these kind of positions right here that we're talking about.
You know, we got abortion. Oh, got to do abortion. All right, wait. All right. What's your abortion deal, man?
Well, I'm Catholic, and therefore I'm pro-life. I believe life begins at conception. But, you know, with Roe versus Wade being repealed, it's now at a state level. Like it or not, it's going to be by majority vote. That's the way it is, and nothing's going to change. That's going to be the system from here on out. But, you know, I think there's problems with both sides, Democrats and Republicans. Like Republicans say they're pro-life. Well, really? Let's look at children overseas, like in Iraq, when they were killing mass numbers of children with their sanctions, hundreds of thousands of children. Madeleine Albright, a Democrat, said, oh, the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children from our sanctions is worth it. Republicans didn't condemn that statement. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy in this abortion thing, because how can you be pro-life when you don't care about foreign children and how many children you kill with sanctions?
America children? We don't care about non-America children.
Exactly. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy in this abortion debate. But that's my position. I'm pro-life. I'm Catholic, and that's just the way it is. And let's just let each state decide by majority vote. There's really no other way it's going to happen from here on out.
All right, we can get deep into that, but that's good enough. All right, issue pardons. What the hell does that mean?
Well, the president doesn't really have the authority to do fundamental changes in terms of abolishing departments and agencies. I know some of my opponents say that they're going to be a libertarian dictator and just get in there and start abolishing departments and agencies. And that clearly wouldn't work, because they would have been impeached and convicted shortly after they started doing such things and removed from office immediately. But what the president can do is issue pardons. And the president should clearly pardon every single nonviolent drug offender, every nonviolent offender in the federal system. And that would send a powerful message that we need to get rid of these drug laws, which is what Congress has to do. They have to repeal these drug laws, and then the president signs it into law. Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, Ross Ulbricht, immediate pardons for these guys. That sends a message to the national security state that we don't care about your beloved little system where you've got your dark side secrets that these individuals, Snowden and Assange, revealed. That's their so-called crime, revealing these dark side secrets. So you send a message real clear to them. This is where Trump faltered.
Yep. So
Trump says, oh, he's going to stand up against the national security state. That's nonsense. He surrendered to the national security state. And the surrender was not only going over to the CIA headquarters and bending the knee and kissing the ring and then surrounding himself with John Bolton and all the generals. The real clear message was when he refused to issue pardons for Assange and Snowden, even while he was pardoning his little cronies, as well as the fact that he continued the CIA's cover-up of the JFK assassination by granting the CIA's request to keep its assassination-related records secret.
And he promised that he was going to do that. That was one of my big
things.
That's
right.
He said he was going to do it. He didn't do it. Shut up.
That's right. That's exactly right. He surrendered to them, and he'll surrender again, which is why you just can't trust this guy, especially with a re-election. So then you pardon your nonviolent offenders with respect to illegal immigration. You just pardon them immediately. Send a message to the Immigration Service and the Border Patrol. You arrest them, I'm going to pardon them. Now, they can still deport. It's a civil offense, but it does send a message that you want this system to be brought to an immediate stop. And that's what distinguishes, another thing distinguishes me from all of my opponents in this race. They will not issue that kind of repeal for a nonviolent offense, which is what crossing the border is. It's a nonviolent offense. I'm the only one that would issue a pardon right there. So you take these kind of things and you send messages to people.
Okay, that, I can hear the people, you know, the conservatives out there freaking out, going, yeah, it's a violent, you know, when MS-13 comes and kills and rapes your 7-year-old daughter. You see my point? But libertarians look at it as individuals. Individual, individual, individual. It's not nothing's collective. There is no sins of the father kind of crap. You know, so how do you respond to people that have suffered pain economically, physically, whatever? Because that's the poster children that they put up on the news.
Well, it's like any other criminal offense. We don't put people into jail for preventive offenses. We don't punish people who are innocent because of crimes committed by other people. 99% of the immigrants that are coming to the United States are peaceful. Why punish the 99% because 1% initiates violence?
Because they broke the law! They're lawbreakers!
Some laws are not worthy of obedience and consent, like drug laws. I mean, they're illegitimate laws. The Nazis had illegitimate laws. We wouldn't say, well, the law is the law. It needs to be enforced.
See, you open the door. Okay, what's a legitimate law? You got to give me, all right, what's a legitimate law?
A legitimate law is a law that prohibits and is going to punish a person that initiates force and force or fraud against another person. Murder, rape, stealing, robbery, fraud, and the like. But otherwise, people...
He took my job! They're coming for your job! You know, I got that. You got to get them. How are you going to get them?
Yeah, that's not violence. There's people flooding in from Maryland every day into Virginia. And maybe taking jobs away from people, but that's just competition. That's not violence.
Stealing. Competition is a sin.
Well, that's what the Marxists say.
Yeah, I know.
Let me give you an example of this phenomenon. You know, many years ago, there was a couple of guys that were coming in from Maryland, snipers, and killing Virginians at random. And... sure, that's bad news. That's murder. That's where you want the state to be targeting its attention as compared to...
Was that the one where they were hiding in the trunk and shooting rifles or something?
Yeah.
That was weird, man. That was years ago.
But notice, it was really weird going to a filling station and filling up with gas because you didn't know whether you were going to get shot next. But notice that they never closed the border between Virginia and Maryland. They were almost certain they were coming from Maryland, but they never closed the border to keep us safe because people understood that you don't sacrifice liberty for the sake of security. So they caught these guys because of a person in the private sector saw them parked at a park and recognized the vehicle was suspicious. But they got prosecuted, and they got life sentences, maybe even death sentences. But that's the way it works. You go after the malefactors, the violent people. You don't punish all the people crossing the border peacefully.
And 9/11 was a perfect example. It was a crime that should have been investigated like that. But no, it was justification for we got to do a war. We got to do, you know, they're always looking for an excuse to something. All right, the environment. Are you an environmentalist?
Well, I do am concerned about the environment, and I consider protecting the earth and wildlife and so forth. I mean, I'm a hiker, I'm a cyclist. I do believe in these kind of things. I just don't want the government to do it. I mean, the government's the biggest polluter in the world. Look what they were doing with nuclear bombs for years, polluting the atmosphere, polluting underground sites with all their nuclear bombs. How can you entrust a government that does that with the environment? I say leave it to the private sector. Private sector groups are much, much better protecting in the environment. I grew up in South Texas. Ranchers that owned their ranches were more protective of their ranches than the government ever would be. And even when they had an oil company come in and drill on their land, they would make sure in their leases that, boy, you restore our land to pristine condition after you drill that well. And that's what we need to do is restore private ownership. All that land out west, privatize it. That's just massive socialism. Don't entrust the environment to the government.
Occupy
the EPA
the
is one of the most...
You know,
get rid of the EPA.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you do the interest of the government, you know, if it's in private hands, well, they won't have the national interest. They're not the national interest. What the hell does that even mean? I thought national interest was freedom for the people. No. You got it wrong. It's national interest of whatever the hell they say for the national. And I'm like, wow, it's gone so far wrong. We need Jacob. All right. And economic regulations. I mean, that's pretty an easy one. Oh, what do we got here? LGBTQ, and you probably spelled it right, or maybe wrong. I think there's some more initials need to go after that, you know? So I'm just like, all right, give me your LGBT alphabet soup position, whatever, go.
Well, you know, this party, the Libertarian Party, has long been known as a party of tolerance. You know, we protect the rights of the minority, the rights of the oppressed, and so forth. And there's people in this party that are off on bashing transgenders and bashing gay people and bashing people that live their lifestyles in a way that is different from the majority. And I tell you, if this party ever gets that image of where we're not only a right-wing party, but we're an extreme right-wing party that goes after people because they happen to live their lives in a way different from everybody else, that's going to be the end of the Libertarian Party. That we have to be the party that protects the minority, the oppressed, the ones that are unpopular. And that's the image that we've got to send out to this party, that we protect the rights of adults to do what they want with respect to their own body, whether it's ingesting drugs or changing their sexual identity. That's their business. And it's the same with gays. That if gays live their lives in a way that's different from heterosexuals, that is their right. In order to achieve freedom, you know, people say in the party, we have to convince Americans to become libertarians. Well, the first challenge we have is here in this party, we have to adhere to our principles if we expect Americans to come to liberty. And welfare, warfare, state reform, Social Security, COVID, health care, if all you're going to do is reform the system, immigration controls, just reform the system, you're not achieving freedom any more than slavery reform would achieve freedom for slaves. In order to lead America to freedom, we libertarians need to adhere to our principles. And so whether I can accomplish that and convince 51% of the delegates to say, look, this is a bad message that we've been running over here. This is why we keep getting this 99% rejection rate. Not because people don't know about our message. It's because voters reject this reform message. But if we can restore this brand of principled libertarianism, then if I can convince 51% of the delegates then I win. If I can't, then I lose. It's that simple. But I'm arguing the way you're arguing, Ernie. The way we achieve not only a free society, but also garner a large number of votes in this party is restoring our original brand of principled libertarianism and run a presidential candidate that makes that case to the American people.
Somebody needs to. And I'm glad that you came on and, you know, answered all my questions, you know, withstood the, you know, the ninja gauntlet, you know, and we got to know Jacob. Share it. Spread it. Send it around. You want to know what's up? Jacob Hornberger. Final word, Jacob.
Ernie, I just want to tell you that how much I value our friendship. We go back a long ways, and you know your kindness and your nice words, they mean so much to me. I would like to clone you and flood the Libertarian Party with Ernie Hancock, because this is what we need. You've got the passion, you've got the vision, you've got the principles. This you are what I envision is the ideal for the Libertarian Party. Is it people that are excited about our principles?
It's what drew me to it.
Passionate about our principles.
It's what drew me to it. This is why I'm a libertarian.
I mean, me too.
You know, yeah, exactly. And then they go playing politics. Oh man, don't piss me off. You're losing the best people advocating, you know, for this position because they're worried about what freaking some psychopath wants. Who's got the money? Who has the influence? Who has, you know, the press coverage? Who's, we'll do this. If you, and that was no more evident than Bill Weld, Bob Barr. I'm just like, oh, God, you guys get some self-confidence. You know, it's gonna, you know, human up a little bit, you freaking wimps. You know, Jacob Hornberger, an interesting campaign year for a president of America. You'll just say it. You guys pay attention. It's going to be a thing. Pace.
I'm going to miss you, Major. You aren't ready to stay dead. You don't know the rules of the game anymore.
Tell me about it. 8 years ago, this guy was on the hit list.
Budget cuts, dear. Congress blinded us overseas. I was forced to turn to any eyes and ears I could find, even if that meant recruiting the quote-unquote bad guys here.
Is that what this is about? Operation Honeymoon. You're running a fundraiser.
Fundraiser? 1993. World Trade Center bombing, remember? During the trial, one of the bombers claimed the CIA had advanced knowledge. The diplomat who issued the terrorist visa was CIA. It's not unthinkable they paved the way for the bombing. Period to justify a budget increase.
You're telling me that you're going to fake some terrorist thing just to scare some money out of Congress?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Hennessy, I have no idea how to fake killing 4,000 people. So we're just going to have to do it for real. Oh, blame it on the Muslims, naturally. Then I get my funding. Good night, old girl. Timothy, I'll be in Chopper 1.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.